This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about defense in depth. I know that's kind of nerdy, but we're going to talk about this Russia-Ukraine missile anti-personnel mine stuff. Linda McMahon's the new head of the DOE. What's that about? Lakin Riley's killer got sentenced. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about defensive lines, shall we? Oh, this is going to have to do with Russia, Ukraine, what the Biden administration is doing with the missiles and mines. But let's talk about the system and what they're doing as we speak right now. You know, defense in depth is a military concept that has been around for a very, very, very long time. Have you ever heard that term, defense in depth? If you have, good. If you haven't, don't worry. Let me explain really quickly. The thinking is this. See, in old military ways, old military thinking, you would have all your defense in one line. This is our line. Nobody behind us. This is our line. If it breaks, we're finished, but we'll put all of our forces right here. And then over time, people started to realize, military commanders started to realize, that doesn't make a lot of sense, actually. You're putting all your eggs in one basket. So yeah, create a line, a strong line, but then behind it, create another line. We'll call it a trench. You have your first trench, but make another one way behind it. So if something bad happens and you lose your first trench, your men have a place to fall back to where they can regroup, turtle up, get ready to withstand the attack, maybe even counterattack. Defense in depth. Force your enemy to work through multiple layers of defense. This is going to come back to politics in Russia, Ukraine. You just have to stay with me. What the system is doing right now, what our system is doing, the evil system of government that runs this country and all of the West, what they're doing is they have fallen back to their secondary line. And a lot of people can't see it. They don't realize it. See, here's what happened. The first line was, of course, the election. Democrats are all communists now, and communists run every institution now in this country, from government to education, FBI, Hollywood, media, you name it. This globalist communist cabal, they run everything now. And they really, really, really wanted Kamala Harris to win the election because she would simply ensure that everything continues apace. The looting of America, the destruction of America, all these things would just continue as they were before. That was the ideal goal. That was what they wanted. Hey, let's make sure we keep a Democrat in office, keep Donald Trump out. That's our first defensive line. But too bad, so sad. For a variety of reasons, they lose the election, and now you have Donald Trump coming in. And it's not just Donald Trump. This is apparently a new and much improved version over the first time. Donald Trump is coming in, and if we're to look at his appointees, it looks like Donald Trump is coming in to reform things. He is coming in to change the evils of the system. He's coming in to hold people accountable. So a lot of people on the right, they're under the impression right now that the system is on the run, that they're defeated, they're on the run. We won the election, woke is dead. If you see anybody saying that, woke is not dead and they're not on the run. They have fallen back to their second position. And part of falling back to a second position is getting ready to withstand the same army that stormed through your first position. Right now, we are at a critical period in history that actually won't get very much play at all. It's this little window of time in between when Democrats lost the election and when Donald Trump actually takes power. Because as you know you're a political person, Donald Trump doesn't have any power yet. He will very soon. January's coming. He's gonna be president, but now it's just the president-elect. He really doesn't have any more political power than you or I. So the system, they're still running everything. And in this tiny little window, they are doing everything they can possibly do to ensure that Donald Trump, you, me, everybody who loves the country, cannot get through that second defensive line. And that is what the deep state is doing. That is what Democrats are doing in a variety of ways. I, of course, could point to Chuck Schumer ramming through as many communist judges as humanly possible, but let's move past that and talk about Russia-Ukraine. It's maybe their ultimate defense in depth thing they're doing. People woke up one day a few days ago. We picked up the newspaper, which means we picked up our phones. So let me do it accurately. We picked up the newspaper and we looked and we said, wait, Joe Biden he authorized missiles, long-range missiles, our missiles? He authorized their use to have them land in Russia? What are you talking about? Joe Biden himself has been on camera saying that would be World War III. That's crazy. Why would he do that? I can't figure out why he would do that. People got confused. And then we find out it's actually worse. We had previously not authorized anti-personnel mines to be used. And we just now authorized anti-personnel mines to be used. I know you already know this, but just so you know, an anti-personnel mine is hidden. It's in the ground. You step on it and it goes boom. And if you're lucky, your legs are gone. If you're not lucky, your mother gets to bury you in a few days. They're a nasty, nasty bit of business. Why would we escalate like this? People are looking around. I don't understand. I don't understand. I know you don't understand. Well, you probably do, but your normie neighbor doesn't understand, so allow me to explain. The Russia-Ukraine war, for whatever else it is, the invasion, the history of it, for whatever else it is a huge financial and power boondoggle for all the evil people who run the system. And this goes beyond the military. Not just the military, not just defense contractors, the major finance giants. You've already had major finance giants come out and say, man, I can't wait to rebuild Ukraine. We will rebuild. It is a big pot of money. Think of Russia, Ukraine, and this ongoing war as this huge pot of money. And now you have Donald Trump, who just won the presidency, and he will take office in January. And he's been telling every single person who will listen, we have to finish this. People are dying. This is horrible. We're going to finish this. This has got to stop. This has got to stop immediately. Well, if you're part of the system and you're enjoying looting this big pot of money, remember, these are all evil demons. They don't care about anybody dying. You could point out the people who are dying. These people don't care about that. They don't think like that. But if you're one of those people and you're enjoying your access to this big pot of money, well, you have to figure out what to do between now and then. What do we do? How do we secure our second defensive line against the coming Trump? Well, escalate. Escalate the war so the war can get to a place where Donald Trump can't get us out of it. You see, there are certain levels to conflict. There are certain levels to war, and I'm certainly not minimizing any of the loss of life or the horrors in Russia, Ukraine. It's bad, don't get me wrong, but as of right now, it is still a regional conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and it is still something an American leader who wants out can probably negotiate our way out of. But what if bombs start landing in Sweden? What if there's an attack of some kind on America? No, I'm not here to fearmonger you. I don't think the Russians are going to launch an ICBM across the ocean and vaporize New York City. But what if there's EMP, a major hacking attack? You have any idea how much of our infrastructure is vulnerable online? Cybersecurity guys will tell you this till they're blue in the face. What if we get a tangible, hurtful attack here? You see, it can go from being a regional conflict that Donald Trump can maybe get us out of to being such a quagmire, something global, that now we're stuck there and the pot of gold remains. And don't think this is only our politicians who think this way. Again, it is the globalist communist cabal. They're thinking the same thing over in the UK.
Russia is the aggressor,
Russia
has to be the one that makes the move to stop this war. It's within their gift, but we must support Ukraine. It's impacting not just Ukraine, it's impacting the rest of the world, including the UK.
Is your message to viewers back home that there will not be a nuclear war, because that is what Russia is threatening?
My message is that we need to ensure that Ukraine is put in the best possible position. This is 1,000 days of conflict, and there is a very high cost if Russian aggression is seen to pay off.
asked about nuclear war. Russia is threatening it. They're openly threatening it now that missiles are landing in their soil. He's asked about a million people being turned into vapor. Breezes right past it. Gives you the same standard talking points you've been hearing. Well, I mean, Russia, okay. And if this thing kicks off, remember the current Secretary of Defense, this is what he's worried about.
Do you have any concern that women impact readiness of these units?
They do impact readiness. They make us better. They make us stronger. And again, what I've seen from our women is quite incredible. And I'm not, this is not hyperbole. This is fact. I'm just telling you what I've seen. And I think, you know, as the years have gone by, our women get better and stronger.
Yeah. Ready for WW3 with guys like that leading the way. And let's do keep in mind, we have a military full of generals and admirals, good old boy network. They don't ever hold themselves accountable for anything anymore. 20 years in Afghanistan, failure after failure, the men and women on the ground dying, blown up, shot to pieces, mangled beyond belief. At the end of which we finished the 20-year disaster with a 20-year anniversary of embarrassment, being embarrassed on the world stage, and America's top military man didn't have a single regret.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
I support the president's decision.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal or how the withdrawal occurred from Afghanistan that cost the lives of 13 of our service members?
I don't have any regrets.
These are the evil people who are trying to raise this conflict to something Donald Trump can't get us out of, and they're doing it for money and power. People trying to ensure the death of God knows how many people, and it's all for money and power. Demonic. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have an amazing show. We're going to talk about missiles and other things. Before we get to that, let's talk about another national crisis, testosterone crisis. It's really bad. I am glad that America's health and what's in our water is getting more publicity now, but we have been drinking estrogen forever. We shower in it. Men's T levels are at a 50-year, at an all-time low because they've been dropped 50% in 50 years. I about said a 50-year low. No, it's an all-time low. Our testosterone's disappearing. Get some natural herbal supplements and fight back. You know natural herbal supplements can have your numbers up 20% in 90 days. A male vitality stack from Chalk can do that to you. And Chalk, they're the anti-communists who actually care. They have a lot more than just male vitality stacks. They share our values. Go find out about this wonderful company and take advantage of their Black Friday special for the entire month of November. Chuck.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, it's not just missiles and anti-personnel mines to Ukraine. They are shoveling as much of your money out the door as fast as humanly possible, really, until Trump takes over. They just sent another $275 million in new weapons. I should probably point out, as many others and as I have before, that U.S. weapons stockpiles are so low that our own units don't have what they need. But hey, you already get the game. We just talked about it. Joining me now, Aaron Flint, retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel, veteran, Iraq, Afghanistan, host of Montana Talks. Colonel, honestly, the stories I hear about units and how low they are on their own gear here, and then every day I open up my phone and I see another $200 million in slush fund stuff for Ukraine, and I'm just floored, Colonel. I'm floored at how fast this is happening.
Well, first off, Jesse, just call me Aaron. It's an honor to be on here with you. Thanks for your service and sacrifice and all your viewers as well. Let me put a little Montana spin on this for you, too. You talk about they are emptying every piggy bank they can possibly empty before Donald Trump takes office in January 20th. And yeah, here they didn't even want to give Joe Biden the keys to the car for the presidential race, but yet here he is, you know, potentially getting us on the brink of World War III. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of our listeners back here in Montana. But, you know, one of the things that we've had here in the news here recently is we've had nearly 700 miners that work for the Stillwater mine here in Montana. It's a platinum and palladium mine here in Montana. They were laid off recently. And think about this. Despite this war with Russia and Ukraine, this administration has allowed the Russians to dump their products into U.S. markets, and now we've got miners here in Montana that are out of work. And guess what? The federal Department of Labor isn't doing squat for these miners, practically. Our state Department of Labor is helping out these laid-off miners, but where is the federal Department of Labor? Apparently, they're out of money right now, but yet we see all of our money going to Ukraine and all these other countries around the world. Woke projects in South America, you name it. And it's just, it's an extra slap in the face to these miners who just got told that they were losing their jobs.
Golly. Aaron, you spent some time in the belly of the beast. Tell us about this defense industry. It's something I've talked about several times on this show before, but this cabal of politicians, flag officers, and then the defense contractor thing, people really don't grasp what big business this stuff actually is and how much money's at stake.
Well, so, you know, I'm a National Guard, Army Reserve guy. So I would get deployed overseas, come back home to my radio show back here in Montana, did some TV time as well. So I may not have the experience inside the belly of the beast as much as some others out there, but let's look at it from just the perspective of, we had a liberal Senator John Tester here in Montana. He campaigned for office way back in 2006. He campaigned against the national deficit and the national debt. Well, what was it back then? It was about $6 trillion. Now we're approaching $36 trillion. He campaigned against the war in Iraq. He made it sound like he was this kind of anti-war politician, anti-war candidate. Well, you know, three terms later, we finally kicked him to the curb here a couple of weeks ago in the November elections, but yet, Did this guy do anything to prevent these forever wars that have been plaguing this country in the past couple of decades? And so I think the biggest challenge right now is, look, I have listeners ask me, hey, our kids are about to graduate high school. Should we encourage them to join the U.S. military? Now, I think the answer to that question is going to be a lot different with a commander-in-chief, Donald J. Trump, who's about to be back in there. If we can get Pete Hegseth in as Secretary of Defense, I think Uncle Jimbo Jim Hansen just laid it out very well. He's the former Black5.net blogger. He's got an incredible military background. But I think he laid out an effective case for how Pete Hegseth can not only combat the woke DEI nonsense that's been harming military recruitment efforts and led to a decline in military readiness right now. But I think Uncle Jimbo also talked about how somebody like a Pete Hegseth can combat this forever wars military industrial complex that just wants to keep fighting the same war over and over and over again. But to that question that I get from our listeners, they're saying, Aaron, would you encourage our kids to join the military right now with this woke nonsense and the punishment in the last 3.5 years, kicking troops to the curb because of the COVID shot? There's a lot of people who said, I would not do it. I would not tell my sons and daughters to join. But I think if we get some new blood in there, some new leadership with somebody like a Pete Hegseth, and of course with a commander in chief, Donald J. Trump, I think we're going to start to see a surge in recruitment. I think we're going to start to see those ranks start to restore, especially from middle America, you know, home to some incredible patriots that have served for several generations in many of these families out here,
including Montana. Aaron, by the way, I have to ask, I saw a report yesterday about Tren de Aragua. Everyone knows about them taking over places in Colorado. They're, of course, here in Texas. Allegedly, that scumbag who killed Lake and Riley in Georgia was part of it, but they're in Montana, too? Are you seeing this? What's going on?
It's crazy. Of course, no surprise for us. I think people were shocked to hear the news. The New York Post had the report on Tuesday that, yeah, the Department of Homeland Security, in a memo that came out, what, 2 weeks ago? What else happened 2 weeks ago? Oh, the elections. Why didn't this memo get put out prior to the elections so that Americans knew just how big of a threat T. TDA, Trende Aragua, is to the entire country. So shocked, but again, not surprised. Why are we not surprised that Trende Aragua is in Montana? Well, first off, because the Mexican drug cartels have been in Montana. They've been taking advantage of our wide open southern border. The Mexican drug cartels have already been operating here for quite some time now. The former head of the DEA in Montana has joined me on the radio going back several years talking about how the drug cartels were particularly targeting our Native American reservations here across the state. We had a tribal leader from Northeast Montana, from the Fort Peck Tribal Council, testify that the Mexican drug cartels were deliberately targeting Native American women, and then they wanted to marry into the families so they could further embed in our communities, so they could push fentanyl and meth on our reservation communities in particular. So it's led to a huge uptick in crime all across the state, but especially on our reservations. But then now you've got Trende Aragua. I spoke with a former DHS advisor earlier this morning, and he was telling me about how you will start to see wars take out between Trende Aragua and the Mexican drug cartels, the turf battle style wars, wars for money, wars for the drug money, et cetera. So that's what we're kind of anticipating now is, okay, how is that going to tick up the violence even more? Just last week, for example, Belgrade, Montana, which is a small town outside of Bozeman, Montana. Now, most of you, your viewers, would consider Bozeman, Montana to be a small town as well. Just last week, there was a man shooting at police officers in Belgrade, Montana. Now, the local news media didn't bother to include this in their reporting. I checked the Gallatin County Jail roster. If you look at the Gallatin County Jail roster, that man is on an ICE hold. He is on an immigration detainer for ICE. Most of these ICE holds, we've had a lot of them in our jails across Montana, are typically because these are illegal aliens committing crimes here in Montana. Wrong way drunk driving down the interstate, fentanyl dealing. This guy in Belgrade, Montana, shooting at the cops, and he's on an ICE hold now. And in the local media, these TV stations, some of the other print outlets, they don't even think that that's relevant to include the immigration status of these criminals that are committing violent crimes, raping young women in the downtown college area, in a big college town. And so, but back to TDA Trende Aragua, look, Aurora, Colorado. I'm in Billings, Montana right now. 7-8 hour drive to Denver, depending on the traffic once you get there, right? So this Trende Aragua, this violent Venezuelan prison gang that was taking over entire apartment complexes, is, you know, just less than a day's drive away from Montana. And so no surprise that Trende Aragua, of course, has already established a presence here in Montana. You're seeing Venezuelans, you're seeing so-called refugees. And of course, we use the air quotes because the Biden administration has been handing out the refugee sticker to anybody practically. They've been abusing the refugee process, abusing the asylee process. So whatever status they're given, we know the threat is here.
No doubt. Aaron, thank you so much. I appreciate you. All right, Lauren Boebert, Congresswoman Colorado, is going to join us next. Before she does, let us always keep in mind the unborn, you're their voice. They don't have one. They can't talk yet. No one can hear them. The only advocate they have is you. Preborn is out there changing hearts. Not changing laws, changing our culture by changing people's hearts. How do they do this? They give women who are about to abort their babies, they give them free ultrasounds. And then care, if they need care. You need diapers, formula, you need a place to stay. Preborn is there changing hearts. The ultrasound is our greatest tool because once she hears the heartbeat, she chooses life almost every single time. And Preborn only does this with your help. That ultrasound, $28. And Preborn is tax deductible. You can give them whatever you want. It's tax deductible. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and save a life tonight. I'm going to play you something in a moment that is actually, it's good, but it's going to be difficult to hear. Lakin Riley's murderer was sentenced today, and I want you to see it. And I'm going to play that for you. But before I get to that, I just wanted to have another heart-to-heart about this. I know that people fall in different places on the political spectrum. I really do get that. Yes, I have obviously very strong feelings about what I believe. And I know I am far, far, far on the right side of that. Wait, am I doing that wrong? It's television. I guess it's this. Whatever. I'm on the far right. I know that. I'm about as buried. The needle was buried on the far right for where I am. I get it. And I get that that's not where a lot of people are. That some people are more towards the middle, nationalist, libertarian. Maybe you consider yourself a classical liberal. I get it. And I understand that there are many, many, many Democrats out there who vote Republican now and then. Maybe they voted for Donald Trump this last election for different reasons. But they're not with me. They're not on the far right. They have a bunch of far, far left views on things. But I'm going to say this before I play this video for you. And I really need you to hear me. And this is for the people who consider voting Democrat now. You can't anymore. I'm not actually politicking on behalf of Republicans who you hear me scream about all the time. I get so mad at Republicans and when they screw this up or that up. This is not me advocating for the GOP. The Democrat Party is not something you can vote for anymore. It's not an option. JFK is gone. Bill Clinton is gone. Whatever Democrats you used to admire, they are gone. And if there are any that are still around, they are completely neutered and powerless. The Democrat Party now, I don't have to tell you a single other thing about another issue. They open up the border on purpose. And not only do they open it up, it's not as if they just open up the floodgates. They grab as many people who shouldn't be here as possible from all over the planet, and they bring them in as fast as possible, intentionally flooding the country. You ever seen or heard about, read about a ship that's been scuttled? Maybe World War II, you hear about that a lot. There'll be a big aircraft carrier, and it was wounded, it's limping along, doesn't look like it's probably going to make it, but it's not necessarily sinking. So what do? They set some charges and they blow it up to intentionally sink it, to deny it to the enemy so he can't get his hands on it and look at it. That's what Democrats do to the United States of America now when they take power. Democrats took power 4 years ago. They opened up the border, flew, bust, and did all manner of things to bring in as many people into this country as possible. Rapists, murderers, drug dealers. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a whoopsie. That's what voting for Democrats does now. And if you've, I'm sorry, I know this may be hard to hear because there are going to be a lot of people watching, but if you voted for Democrat 4 years ago, then you have to own part of what happened to Laken Riley. Laken Riley, that beautiful young lady in Georgia, was hunted down by some animal, and she was murdered in an awful, awful way. And Democrats brought that person into the country on purpose. It's just the truth. And today, by the grace of God, at least, the sentencing happened.
I'll now announce the verdict. In the state of Georgia versus Jose Antonio Ibarra, case SU24CR0323, count one, malice murder. I find the defendant guilty.
Guilty. And I don't know how loud you had your TV up or your phone up or however you're watching us here on the first, but you can hear the sobs in the background. The sobs are that young lady's family. Thanksgiving's almost here. Laken Riley won't be there. Christmas is coming. Laken Riley won't be sitting around the tree with her family. And she won't be there because Democrats brought in that monster on purpose. Voting for Democrats is not an option anymore. And you should know that they're not, it's not like they're backing off. It's not like they're watching this trial, they're reading these stories and saying to themselves, oh, I feel terrible. I guess I should change my ways. We've had Democrat governor after Democrat mayor across the country loudly, on television mostly, come out and say they don't even want deportation. They're not going to cooperate with the government. Now, by the grace of God, we have Tom Homan coming in, and he says, you better.
Title 8, United States Code, 1324, triple I. Read about that and don't cross that line, because it is a felony to harbor and conceal an illegal alien from ICE. Read the statute, don't cross that line.
I like the message. Don't cross the line. But I don't want to go there right now. I am glad it looks like we have people coming in with the right mentality, but I don't want to talk about what's going to happen in the future with Tom Homan and ICE and mass deportations and Trump declaring a national emergency and all those other things. And all those things are very, very good. I don't want us in our post-election euphoria, I don't want us to forget that Democrats took power and opened up the border on purpose. And for 4 years, rapists flooded into this country and raped American women. Murderers flooded into this country and murdered Americans. 4 years of bringing murderers and rapists on purpose. Democrats, whatever they used to be, they are a demonic, communist, evil political party now. And as many problems as you may have with the GOP. Again, I'm not asking you to align with me on all the issues. I'm not naive. As many problems as you may have with the GOP, voting for Democrats is not an option. And if you're sitting there saying, well, Jesse, I'm not sure, Jesse, I might, okay. Then the next time we get a Democrat president and they bring in another 15 million gangbangers from Venezuela, maybe it will be your daughter. Maybe it'll be your wife. Next time might be somebody you love very, very much. And so you think about that long and hard next time you walk in a voting booth. I think about it all the time. I've said it before. I wish I had the option to vote Democrat. That's how angry Republicans make me sometime with their weakness. I wish I could go in and out of spite vote for Democrats now and then, just kind of a toss-off vote. I can't vote for that. It's not right. I find it to be morally wrong, and you should too. All right? All right. We have a new education secretary, or we're going to, Linda McMahon. Now, I've been doing backflips on most of Trump's appointments, but doing backflips for the most part. Linda McMahon, I don't know about. Let's talk to somebody from Florida, probably familiar with it. Let's see if he actually has anything to say about her, or maybe he won't. I don't know. Before we get to that, let's talk about peer talk. Let's talk about putting our money where our morals are. You know, open borders, speaking of which, it's not just something that governments support when they go evil. Go look up your cell phone company and see what they have to say about dreamers, things like that. These corporations get involved in this stuff. They fund this stuff now. Pure Talk doesn't. Switch. You don't need Verizon. You don't need AT&T. You don't need T-Mobile. You need to go with a patriotic cell phone company on the same 5G networks. You're not going to sacrifice service. Switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. It'll save you a fortune, and you can actually feel good about paying your bill. We'll be back. Personnel is policy, you know that, and I know that, and in fact, it is something, if you've watched the show for any length of time, that we lamented about Trump's first 4 years. His personnel decisions were an unmitigated disaster, and it kneecapped his agenda a lot. Now, this new Trump has been killing it, absolutely killing it. It looks like he's taking this much more seriously, knows what he's doing now. You know I'd criticize it if I didn't like it. I'm over the moon about most of these. Now, one I'm not sure about, I'm not criticizing it because I don't know yet, what I'm not sure about is Linda McMahon. Linda McMahon, business mogul, Vince McMahon's ex-wife, tapped to take over the DOE, the Department of Education. Now, I was told repeatedly that we're going to eliminate the Department of Education. Is she going to do that? I don't know. I tell you what, let's find out. Let's ask Richard about it. Joining me now, Richard Corcoran. He is an author of the book Storming the Ivory Tower, former Florida Education Commissioner. The man kind of knows what he's talking about. Okay, Richard, what do you make of this? Feel free to blast away or sing its praises. I don't know what to think. What do you think?
I get what you're saying. I would just say this. I think everyone that he's chosen so far, I would put them in the category of amazing disruptor. I know so many of them because the Florida connection, his deputy chiefs of staff, his chief of staff. These are disruptive, very ideologically understand where they stand, what they believe. And I think he's putting those people in those key positions because he's, to your point, he learned his lesson from the first term. I think the selections are good. And I do think he's going to gut the Department of Education. I think he blows it up. I personally, in chapter 9 of the book, I give like, here's all the things that we did. And one of them is blow up the Department of Education, gut the Department of Education, send in a SEAL team, send in the Vivics and the Elons, but use it, and I think he will, as an amazing hammer to bring the Newsoms and the Hochuls and all these people who are doing the indoctrination and killing school choice and disempowering parents, bring them to their knees. That's what we did in Florida. That was our Florida model, and I think he's going to do just that.
Okay, expand on that a lot, because I know you are well familiar with the Florida model, but the other 49 states have no idea what you're talking about. What did you do?
Yeah, so here's what I'm... First of all, I think who's the enemy of the state? Who's, in my experience, what's the greatest enemy to a wonderful world-class education for kids, whether it's K through 12 or universities? I mean, the union bosses are awful. Now, where do they dominate? They dominate at the local level without question, then the state level, and with a Donald Trump presidency, they're not going to have any say at the federal level. And so I give examples of my book. You know, we had, and this is in Florida, which is the number one education state, the freedom state, back years ago. These local governments, you know, I talk about the Little Johns. Their child was being transgendered in middle school. They were calling her different names. They were allowing her to choose whether she wanted to stay in the boys' room or the girls' room on overnight trips, and the parents were never informed. The Perez's, their child tried to commit suicide, and they were never informed. This is the union at its full force at the local level. What you need to do is take the federal money, that hammer, billions and billions of dollars, and say, all of this ends or you're not getting the money. And the Florida model was just that. How did we open up schools during COVID? How did we tell them stop force masking kids? How did we get rid of the indoctrination? How did we modify the textbooks? We did all of that more than any other reason with the power of the purse. And just like the nation, we have liberal counties. There's liberal states, liberal governors. We have liberal counties. We have our Miami-Dades and Browards and Palm Beaches. All of them, they fight like crazy. I mean, make no mistake about it, but we brought them all to their knees, and that's what you have to do. It is the fastest way to get a return on investment for what needs to happen quicker than anything else in education in the nation, in my opinion. And it's the greatest threat to our country. It's not the Russians, it's not the Chinese, it's not jihadists. It is our education system has been under this filthy indoctrination that it got so heightened in the last 20 years, but was going on for 50 years. And it needs to be stopped and swiftly and quickly for the sake of the country.
No, you're 100% right. It's a national security risk. Okay, it's one thing to do it, and don't get me wrong, I'm extremely impressed and I applaud you for it. It's one thing to do it, though, in a state of Florida where they have people like you, DeSantis, a pretty squared away legislature. That doesn't necessarily translate nationally, though, which is a whole different other kind of bear. What can we do? How much can we model the Florida model nationally? Can we do it exact, or are we going to have to make some compromises?
I think you can do it as well as Florida, and even better, because it's a ton more money. And I'm agreeing with you, Jesse. I'm saying I have zero expectations. You want to send that money to Hochul or Newsom or local school boards? They already do it. The federal government sends all kinds of billions of dollars down to help start up charter schools, but the union bosses hate them. So they go to the states and they go to the locals, and they harass you. You put in a perfectly good application to have a great charter school and a choice for parents, and they say, I'm sorry, you didn't send it in triplicate. We're denying you for an entire year. They don't say, hey, just send us two more forms. They deny you outright for the whole year. That's what they do at the state and local levels that aren't Florida. So you cannot empower them. You cannot give a Hochul or a Newsom or any of these folks more power to harass parents, take away their rights, indoctrinate the kids. But at the federal government, you can break them. There's no way Governor Newsom can survive for 30 days with the withholding of tens of billions of dollars because he's engaged in what the entire country voted on in November, things that nobody agrees with. Bill Maher, Bill Ackman, even liberals are saying, stop. This is an indoctrination that's jeopardizing the country. And the fastest way to execute the end of it is through using that department as an absolute hammer with the right leadership and under President Trump.
Richard, what do we do about the textbook companies? Obviously, you're much more well-versed on this than I do. I only know a little bit about a little bit, but you have these companies like Scholastic and others. And there really is, I mean, you have to go through your kid's textbook with a fine-tooth comb because there's more commie crap in those textbooks now than I can possibly imagine. How do we attack that bear?
Yeah, so again, it's literally the same. And we did that at the state level. We denied 40% of the math textbooks when we rewrote the standards. And I think that there should be a nationwide look at writing a curriculum standards in math and ELA, the things that matter most. Look at the national PISA scores. We're embarrassing low. We're the richest country in the world. We spend more money per pupil than any other country. And the only thing we do well on, ironically, not ironically, it's obvious, is they say, oh, we have the prettiest buildings, has nothing to do with great education. And we have the most like technologically advanced stuff, has nothing to do with education. What matters is what are those kids being taught and who are the teachers? Go after the textbook companies. And again, you do it with the states. That's what we did. You're ineligible to have a textbook county because the counties actually choose. You cannot choose from these publishers until they fix their books. The federal government can do the same thing. You cannot get these federal dollars and you cannot choose these textbooks unless these things are not, these indoctrination things aren't in there. You can do it with accreditors. You can't use this accreditor until they get rid of their DEI, get rid of their gender ideology, all of it. And you watch how fast they move. It's amazing. And then they get, you know, I hate to say it, but then they get used to it. Okay, this is the new paradigm, and we're not messing around because we need the money.
Okay, how do we get the prices down in Florida? Because I really want to move there. Every time I take my wife there, she's all, I want to move here. But these prices are ridiculous, Richard.
Well, it's because Florida, and honestly, Governor DeSantis has been fantastic. But before that, we had Governor Rick Scott. Before that, we had Governor Rick Scott led the charge on universities and lowering the cost that took us to the top in universities. Before that, we had Governor Bush, who ushered in the whole school choice movement before anyone in the country knew what it was. I mean, there's just been great leadership in the state of Florida. And now, as the leadership in these other places goes from bad to crazy to insane. People are moving with their feet. They move. You see it all the time in taxation. But now you see it in ideology, and you certainly saw it with COVID. Where can we go to a beach? Where can we go to a restaurant? Where can we open up a business and not have to be masked and not have to be shut down? Florida led the nation under that, under Governor DeSantis' leadership. And so that's my long way of saying, Jesse, I don't think prices are going down anytime soon.
Dang it. Richard, I appreciate it. Come back soon. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next. All right. It is time to Light in the Mood. And I should confess something to you right now. I know you're going to get mad at me. I'm going to miss some things about Joe Biden. I'm not going to miss having this disastrous presidency, but I'm going to miss some things about Joe Biden. I'll show you what I mean in a moment. Before I do that, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC. Go subscribe there. Put up little things on there, stuff you will enjoy, some funny stuff, some serious stuff. Go scan it with your phone and subscribe. All right, now, Joe Biden. I'm going to miss the laughs. I'm not going to miss the disaster it's been for the country, but I am going to miss the laughs, and I'm going to miss how he just stiffed the media for 4 years because he can't talk, right? Everyone knows why he did it. He can't form complete sentences. He's not a functional adult. So they just hid the guy for 4 years. And even now, Joe Biden turned 82. Reporters are just begging him now. How embarrassing. Like, what goes through your head if you're that reporter? I mean, that's a grown woman, I assume. I don't know her age, but What do you think about yourself as he's getting on that plane and you're just screaming like some kind of Beatles groupie? Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.